guess that's pretty weird, huh? To feel like part of you is gone because it absconded with people you hardly know. Since I've started telling you one weird thing, I might as well tell you another. Now, this one is really weird. Lately, I sometimes feel like I have turned into Kumiko. I am actually Mrs. Wind-Up Bird, and I've run away from you for some reason, and I'm hiding here in the mountains working in a wig factory. For all kinds of complicated reasons, I have to use the name Mei Kasahara as an alias and wear this mask and pretend I'm not Kumiko. And you're just sitting there on that sad little veranda of yours waiting for me to come back. I don't know. I really feel like that. Tell me, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, do you ever get obsessed with these delusions? Not to boast or anything, but I do, all the time. Sometimes when they're really bad, I'll spend the whole working day wrapped up in a cloud of delusion. Of course, I'm just performing these simple operations, so it doesn't get in the way of my work, but the other girls sometimes give me strange looks. Or maybe I say crazy things to myself out loud. I hate that, but it doesn't do any good to try and fight it. When a delusion wants to come, it comes, like a period. And you can't just meet it at the front door and say, "Sorry, I'm busy today. Try me later." Anyway, I hope it doesn't bother you, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, that I sometimes pretend I'm Kumiko. I mean, I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm getting really, really, really tired. I'm going to go to sleep now for 3 or 4 hours. I mean, out cold. Then get up and work hard from morning to night. I'll put in a good day making wigs with the other girls, listening to some kind of harmless music. Please don't worry about me. I'm good at doing all kinds of things, even when I'm in the middle of a delusion. And in my own way, I'm saying little prayers for you, hoping that everything works out for you, that Kumiko comes back, and you can have your quiet, happy life again. Goodbye.
29. A vacant house is born. The next morning, 9 o'clock came. Then 10 o'clock, with no sign of Cinnamon. Nothing like this had ever happened before. He had never missed a single day from the time I started working in this place. At exactly 9 o'clock each morning, the gate would open and the bright glare of the Mercedes bonnet ornament would appear. This mundane yet theatrical appearance of Cinnamon would mark the clear beginning of each day for me. I'd become accustomed to this fixed daily routine the way people become accustomed to gravity or barometric pressure. There was a kind of warmth to Cinnamon's punctilious regularity, something beyond mere mechanical predictability, something that gave me comfort and encouragement. Which is why a morning without Cinnamon's appearance was like a well-executed landscape painting that lacked a focal point. I gave up waiting for him, left the window, and peeled myself an apple for breakfast. Then I peeked into Cinnamon's room to see if there might be any messages on the computer, but the screen was as dead as ever. All I could do was follow Cinnamon's example and listen to a tape of Baroque music while doing the laundry, vacuuming the floors and cleaning windows. To kill time, I performed each function slowly and with excessive care, going so far as to clean the blades of the kitchen exhaust fan. But still, the time refused to move. I ran out of things to do by 11 o'clock, so I stretched out on the fitting room sofa and gave myself up to the languid flow of time. I tried to tell myself that Cinnamon had been delayed by some minor matter. Maybe the car had broken down, or he had been caught in an incredible traffic jam, but I knew that couldn't be true. I would have bet all I had on it. Cinnamon's car would never break down, and he always took the possibility of traffic jams into account. Plus, he had the car phone to call me on in case of an unforeseen emergency. No, Cinnamon was not here because he had decided not to come here. I tried calling Nutmeg's Akasaka office just before 1, but there was no answer. I tried again and again with the same result. Then I tried Ushikawa's office, but got a message that the number had been disconnected. This was strange. I'd called him at that number just 2 days earlier. I gave up and went back to the fitting room sofa. All of a sudden, in the last 2 days, there seemed to be a conspiracy against contact with me. I went back to the window and peeked through the curtain.
Two energetic-looking little winter birds.